Mr. Chanterelle, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well, Mr. Zach. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm looking forward to this road trip, dude. Thank you for introducing me to Mr. Mark Cohen.
Yeah. I'm glad that I was able to get hooked up with him, man. He is a great dude.
So you're a couple weeks, 3-4 weeks onto the job now?
Yeah, actually I'm closer to like 6 weeks or most of the summer I've been working with Mark.
So tell me a little bit about the work that you guys are doing.
Oh yeah, hang on.
I got
you talking to me twice. I had the YouTube up.
Oh nice. You're enjoying the podcast live.
I was actually just grabbing a link to send it to my wife because, you know, she's definitely wants to watch the live stream.
Awesome. Well,
she has no idea what we're talking about.
Sean's wife. Hello, live audience. Thank you guys for joining. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. So I've been working with Mark Cohen most of the summer. Like I said, started with him, I guess it's been about six, seven weeks ago. It was an opportunity to move out of doing just deploying and doing field change kind of stuff and actually move into a programming slot and do programming and to, you know, be involved more heavily in some projects. And one of the things that I've been really actually excited about and having a lot of fun with is the customers we've been working with just recently have both done non-traditional SCADA deployments, and they're doing IoT style deployments for their SCADA system, where they're just bringing all their data into a website and using web dashboards.
Awesome. So for anyone listening that wants some context, Sean and I have been talking on LinkedIn for quite a while now. You've been doing Automation Synergy back when you were going up to Williston, North Dakota every 2 weeks. And
yes, sir.
You were on the podcast for Automation or back in January. And you know, now you're at Cohen Consulting, who's now a sponsor of the Industry 4.0 road trip. And so we're going to be going out to the fields of West Texas, interviewing Mark himself, maybe possibly interviewing you as well too, Sean. And, you know, not only getting an interesting perspective, a real world perspective of Industry 4.0 in the oil and gas sector out on the edge, right, in the fields of West Texas, but also just, it's going to be cool. I forgot. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but
no, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Excited to get to spend some time with you and, really learn from an SEO master. You know what I mean? It's,
SEO master.
Yeah, man. It's, somebody who's really, really good at this stuff. And I've been working with, Justin Dean quite a bit. He's actually on Hitch out here in Pecos, right around the corner from where I'm staying. And, we get together, you know, once or twice, sometimes three times a week, or we do a Zoom call and we talk, and we're putting together a little podcast, nice. something you know, focused around kind of focused more around oil and gas process stuff and the IoT implementation, and just kind of following your lead, man. You know what I mean?
Awesome. That's what I really wanted to do. I've said it multiple times in this podcast, is like, yes, while I come from this industry and have contributed and still do to this industry from a engineering and technical standpoint, my biggest, I think, strength is being able to help companies like, you know, Cohen Consulting or CSE Icon or SCADA Integrators and Service is another new sponsor in Louisiana. So we're literally doing like 4 sponsors in 4 days throughout Louisiana and Texas. So it's going to be really fun and, you know, a lot of, you know, emphasis on oil and gas there. So, but it really, my secret in the marketplace is being able to provide that value of being able to help companies like you guys to get on video, help copy what I'm doing or take inspiration from, or, you know, maybe if I make myself look like a big enough fool or do something so outrageous or audacious that like someone else can come behind me and be like, oh, it's, well, you know, I could do like, you know,
oh, it's easy. Yeah.
If Zach could do like this crazy stuff, like I could just do a video about how to program a PLC, right? I mean, not saying that what I'm doing is any like better or anything, but it's just more like I'm trying to trailblaze. Like I'm intentionally trying to do crazy things because obviously I know that that gains interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it also just like, it just makes it more approachable, you know?
Right. It does.
So I think that's what I'm doing.
you know, one of the things that we kind of talked about last time I was on is, you know, the thing is, there's 7 billion people in the world, man. Just put your voice out there, because somebody wants to listen to it. A few, yeah, somebodies, at least a few. And even if there's 10 other people that are doing it, there's so much room in the space for you to just put it out. And it doesn't cost anything. Yeah. You know, Gary, well,
I'd say that it's also valuable in of itself, and that you learn through iterating over that. So even if no one else is watching, mm-hmm, you're still doing work.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I really learned from teaching a class is up in NODAC, and getting with some of the people that I had to reach out to get gain information from, is that I learn more about a topic in order to present it to people. So when I'm going to get on and I'm going to do a podcast, I tend to delve deep into any subject that I'm about to talk about, because I want to know it. Right. So I end up gaining more for myself than I could ever, you know, express, yeah, to, you know, by putting it out there, you know? So.
Yeah. Teaching is a great thing. I think that we all, it's within us all to want to teach and show others.
Yeah.
Because it's gratifying. If I can help someone else start making videos, like, to me, that's a really good feeling. Like,
crushing it on LinkedIn, man.
Right. Gaining sponsors and doing things like that, like, is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But for me, it's like those unpaid things, like those messages from someone who's maybe not even in industrial automation, but they're like, hey, Zach, you know, like, you inspired me to make my first video or to pursue, yep, my path. Like, I made this change in my life because of you. I'm like, wow. That, yeah, is rewarding to me.
Well, I mean, I can tell you for sure that like, you seeing you kind of transition from being an integrator who was running around at the, you know, ICC and doing some videography stuff there, and then moving into actually being an influencer, and seeing the following that you've been able to gain, is definitely that's what inspired me to really take it to the internet and to start doing stuff. I think there's you know, especially when you're trying to teach people specific things, there is something to be said for having a classroom where people can go in and put their hands on stuff. Yeah. But at the same time, the audience that you can gain by just making that available online is tremendous. And there are so many people who are willing to just be a part of it. And
all right. And inductive automation is a good example of that, making Inductive University, all the free video training available, right, free.
Right. Opto 22. That's another one. I just wanted to, they're not necessarily a sponsor, but, they have, definitely expressed interest in being a part of what Justin and I are doing. And they have a tremendous training series on their website, as well as, they put a lot of stuff on YouTube for using Node-RED and how to use their APIs and stuff like that. So if you haven't checked out the Opto 22 in a while, and they've been around for a long time, their stuff is pretty fantastic as well.
Yeah. Walker and I did a video at the CSIA. We talked to, you know, Opto 22 and their Groove Epic product. I mean, it's, the price point is a little bit higher, but the functionality that you get is pretty amazing.
It's the only thing like it. It's right. The only thing like it.
You know? Do Python, REST API, database, MQTT, it'll do anything, basically. Yeah. It'll run Node-RED, it'll run Ignition Edge, like, has its, yeah, own language, PLC ladder, like, it's, yeah, anything, really.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, one of the selling points is that it does have code assist control. Mm-hmm. So you can use it as a gateway with a known IEC 61131 you know, programming system. You can pump all that data into their Opto MMPC, the memory protocol that they have, and then grab that with a REST API, and it's I've been blown away by what is possible with the Epic, and it comes loaded with, you know, it's got Ignition Edge on it. There's just so many things that's really, really cool about it. So
I'm going to their factory here in 2 weeks, and it's in Temecula, and we're going to be doing an interview. It's going to be part of the road trip, although it won't be part of the road trip itself, because they're just right here, like, a, you know, an hour away. So that's why I'm knocking that out before I actually embark on the journey. But it's going to be a perfect example to be able to talk to a hardware software provider for the industry. And also, they're also a manufacturer, right? They manufacture their PLCs right there in Escondido. So,
oh, really?
or Temecula. I forget. Temecula, I think. Yeah. So I'm going to go actually see that at their headquarters. And so that'll be a cool start to the documentary. It might be like somewhat of a trailer, or it just, it is what it is. Right. But it's cool that they're open to that.
That's
really, it's going to be companies like that, that really I see dominating industry 4.0, like Cohen Consulting is already on the right step, given that they're open to working with me. Right. They see the value. Or Opta 22, they see the value of having me, welcoming me in with my camera and being part of the documentary. I think that community sense is really going to be strong.
Yeah. Again, you know, it's something that integrators are going to be forced into whether they want to or not. So, you need to get on board. I did not believe that Industry 4.0 had made any kind of indent in oil and gas. And I really thought up until this summertime that it was just the same business as usual with the same type of equipment that we've always used until we arrived on site. And the SCADA company and the monitoring is all being done. If they're using a Linux PLC or a Linux PC that's on site, they've got some really interesting gateway equipment that they're using. It's very secure, and it's definitely something that I didn't think I was going to see it until I saw it for myself, and then realized this. You better get on board because
are you commuting out to West Texas, or are you?
I work kind of a 3-in-1, is, you know, 3 weeks on, 1 week off, but I also have most weekends off. I work a lot of weekends, but I also have most weekends that I can get home for at least a day. So it's it's a drive, but at the same time, I've actually been home quite a bit more, and moving to West Texas was kind of a calculated thing with my wife and I having just done a successful IVF treatment, and she is now she's 16 weeks today.
Congrats, so, man.
Thank you.
Exciting. Yeah. So my idea is to get to West Texas like is it like Wednesday the 25th of September, I think. And then Thursday do the on-site interview. Ideally we can get an oil and gas customer that is actually implementing IIoT, and I want to be like at the well facility, or you know, at a tank battery, or get drone footage, do the interview like with the actual equipment in the background. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. So we're lining you up with one of these customers that we currently we just kind of jumped on a project with them. There was a couple of other integrators that I guess they weren't super successful, and it's also there's a level of urgency and impatience with this particular company that even seems like we haven't been able to satisfy, but we are setting you up to get on with them and show you, you know, what we're looking at as far as for the gateway and how they're doing their implementation. We want to protect our customers.
Right.
But, and I think we can do that and we can do it well, but at the same time, I think it also offers you an opportunity to expose someone with their.
Because we start flirting dangerously close with IP and technology and competitive advantages, but then at the same time, someone who might be looking at it from that perspective is not looking at it from the perspective of branding and marketing and how just open sourcing and just sharing that information ends up making its way back down to the consumers and saying like, hey, I want to buy, for example, Chevron gas, because Chevron as a company has been open sourcing their automation or whatever, right? Fill in oil and gas company, right? There's a lot of
absolutely. One of the things I find really interesting is that ExxonMobil put forth back in 2017 a way forward to figure out how they were going to deal with their aging DCS, right? And because they own refineries and they own the big the powerhouse of production, right? They have these DCS systems that are highly regulated. They have all these regulated function blocks, and they needed to figure out a way to move forward from their current DCS. And the all the companies that they reached out to are essentially non-traditional sources. They, you know, Rockwell's not necessarily on that list of their prime integrators for the replacement system, but Ignition is, Wind River is, and some of these other companies that are doing, you know, web-based authentication and doing their web-based systems, and that's what they're looking at doing.
Are you seeing the IoT being adopted more quickly via the large players, or are you seeing medium or smaller organizations starting to leverage that technology?
The medium and smaller organizations are definitely rolling it out. They are in it now. The large organizations are taking steps to move in that direction. But again, part of the thing you have to kind of realize is that they fall under the same kind of regulations almost as medical and pharmaceutical does. In a lot of cases, their function blocks have been approved by some kind of a regulating agency. So making a shift is going to require some very, very tight-knit integration and some very controlled processes. You know, they actually, like I said, ExxonMobil brought Lockheed Martin in. And that's Lockheed Martin is not an oil and gas player. But if Lockheed Martin can fly drones from Missouri over to Baghdad and do bombing runs, I'm sure that we can figure out how to do government approved controls for oil and gas. Right. So it's opening the space in automation.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's definitely opening it wide in a way that I did not foresee happening. So,
right. Wide and also tall too, right. Integration with the cloud, like Azure and Amazon Web Services starting to have, I think even AWS is starting to support more IIoT protocols, not just IoT, right? Where there's kind of like this hard separation between cloud and software, consumer tech and industrial tech. We're starting to see that make its way more connected. Aviva Insight is a good example of that. It's an industrial cloud application built on Microsoft Azure cloud servers.
Right.
So I think that's, like wide, like you said, but also vertically too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's it's totally open to so many different methods of implementation that I think we haven't even seen what the real development is gonna bring, because we still need more people in the space, and we still need more data analytics, and we still need more eyeballs actually trying to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Wow, this is crazy. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, as a consumer or just as a person as a body on this earth, like I don't necessarily want company A getting so much more profit than company B, or company B operating like more dangerously as far as like environmental concerns because company A has kept their trade secrets.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, like certain trade secrets and stuff are important to give incentive for businesses to make investments, but at a certain point, it becomes more beneficial to share that technology so we're all operating better, we're all operating more efficiently, and it becomes like a commodity, and then the competition is then based on other things, right? So, like when self-driving vehicles are around, right? Like Tesla's not trying to proprietarize that technology. They're trying to license it. They're trying to license the battery technology, the supercharger network. They're trying to get other competitors actually using their same technology. So then they're actually on an equal playing field. The entire world benefits. And then Tesla just competes on brand because people love Tesla because they were so open to do that.
Yeah. Look at Ignition, right? It benefits everyone, including the community, including the ability to implement things in ways that you have no idea how people are gonna implement it. When you open things up, and look at the Firebrand Awards that have been put up recently, and some of the entries. The guys are building cloud-based, field ticketing systems and ERP systems for integrators. Based on Ignition, because they have done it in an open way that allows you to go ahead and make whatever you want to out of their base, right? And it's one of the things that I'm really excited to see them kind of moving into some of this how the Ignition is going to play with some of the cloud-based stuff.
Because
the one thing that I'm really seeing, right, is these customers that are doing like a non-traditional web-based, you know, Azure SCADA system, you get a dashboard that's you know, showing you trends and data, and you get your live numbers, and you get a chart that shows you these things, but it doesn't fit the same way as what like a drawn out PID SCADA system does. It doesn't give you the same level of control or the same level of understanding of what your data is doing and what the operations of the site or whatever it is that you're monitoring are, the same way that a traditional SCADA does, or even an HMI on site. And that's just not there yet on the website. And I think
it would be really cool if Perspective was like a cloud hosted launched service, right? Mm-hmm. It's always been weird to me that Inductive, you know, hasn't you've always been able to install Ignition server and the cloud or, you know, mm-hmm. on Amazon Web Services, but cloud in the sense of the licensing model where you're more of a software as a service, a subscription model, no mm-hmm. upfront cost. They're maintaining the infrastructure. You're just consuming the app or in the product.
Yeah, you're just consuming it and building your screens off
and
of that.
You have something like that with like a Viva Insight, but it's more, they're starting to allow you to do in-touch web kind of like graphics and stuff on that platform, but it's been slower to adopt. It's kind of been more pre-canned essentially. So you kind of have like this out of the box solution, but then you also have this other solution that's like completely custom. So it's like a trade-off. But it would be really cool to see if Inductive, I mean, I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's a matter of when they launch a cloud hosted solution, because I'm not seeing software go the other way. I'm only seeing it go more subscription based.
I wonder if you could put it in a Docker and run it on Amazon.
I think you definitely could. But then again, you're still maintaining that infrastructure yourself, and they've done that intentionally, but mm-hmm. I think that strategy has served them well for a while, but I think they can't stay with that forever.
I mean, I think it's everyone, everywhere, everything is going to the cloud, you know?
I mean, just think of it, Ignition as a service. You just go to a web page and you boom, launch a designer. Mm-hmm. You can build your application. You can go to their Ignition web page and see all of your projects. See all of your connected devices. It could be across different organizations or different geographical locations, but it's just all in one place, as if it were your own cloud managed solution. But then you're not managing it yourself. You actually just get to focus on the important stuff, which is solving problems and not like updating Windows.
Like,
or installing Ignition, even though that doesn't take that long. You get my point.
No, yeah, you just pump your data into the path that they make your area, and you just start using it. You know what I mean?
And that's
one of the other things that I'm really starting to explore, and I'm really hoping to learn more about. And is the real time analytics stuff? It's become so good. You know, Spelunk is great at helping you get through these large data sets and picking out some data. And then the Azure real-time data that's on the IoT hub is, man, it's pretty spot on.
You know? Expand on that.
You can start grabbing real-time data and seeing what it's showing you, and start doing very fine, you know, time expansion and looking at how your compressor or your equipment or your whatever it is running, depending upon your update rate, right? Like you have to have the data coming in pretty quickly to get that. But its ability to kind of start analyzing and
like anomaly detection
start doing things pretty quickly. It doesn't need, you know, this huge you don't need to train an algorithm. Right, it's already starting to pull data in. It can start.
That'd finding. Be really great content to see.
So something that I did, Kudzi Mantezaria, out of South Africa.
Oh yeah, yep. The Industry 4.0 TV.
Yep, Industry 40 TV. Right, yeah. I did an interview with him for the Justin Dean and Nye's podcast, calling it Automation Mercenaries. Right.
Nice.
It's coming soon. I'll be releasing it soon. Just don't look for it just yet, but it couple weeks I'll be putting out cuts. But I did an interview with Cudzy, and he's got Node Red, you know, an introduction to Node Red video series that you can download from his website. And one of the things that we talked about with him was, you know, doing those real time data analytics, and, you know, he has some good insight. And, you know, I don't want to get into too much of it, make you guys watch the podcast if you want to see it. Nice. But you know, but it it was an interesting discussion, and it's certainly something that I'm as a person who is embedded, right, who's my goal is to sit with the operators and figure out what do the operators need, what makes their life better, what's their pain, and how do I optimize the system so that it works for you. These are the kind of things that I'm really interested in giving to, you know, customers that want that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm really looking forward to.
So speaking of Justin Dean, if you're listening, I think he's coming on in 45 minutes here. Sweet. Right now we have Trina.
Yeah, Trina.
Awesome. Give us a rundown on Trina.
She started working for Mark. Her fiance, Dylan, who we actually hired off of Mr. Justin's recommendation, came to work for us, and his condition to kind of coming down was to also evaluate if we could bring her on. And Mr. Mark at Cowan Consulting, Mark Cowan, his attitude is, well, if that's what it takes for me to bring you in and I really want you on my team, then we're gonna figure out how to do it. So she's been working with us, and she's brand new in controls and oil and gas, and she's a very interesting person. And I think, you know, I'll let you talk to her, but you know.
Yeah, awesome. Hopefully she's jumping on here any second. Oh, she's in here. Yeah, cool. Yeah,
we're staying at man camp. So I have a room, they have a room. There's a bunch of people from different oil companies that are staying with us.
You gotta hook it up with a room there or something. I'm trying to get cheap rates on every place I'm staying at, and
we got you covered, man. Don't worry about that.
Reach out to. I hopefully Mary started to book some of the hotels in the main locations, but I don't think she booked West Texas yet.
Yeah, reach out before you do anything, because we can get you covered. And we're set up with these guys. West Texas Lodge, man. It's good people.
Thanks,
but man. Yeah, we'll get you set up. But yeah, I'll let you talk to her and let her tell you your story. She's cool peeps.
Awesome.
And then
Justin Dean's jumping on after her. So
that'll
be the finale of the podcast.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.